If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
I just made that up.
That was awesome. Thanks. Hey, listen, you're about to hear us go into some awesome tips on how to train your back. We talk a lot also in the beginning of the episode about how great our private forum is. Of course, that price is going to be going up in August. So August 1st, the price of the forum goes up. But we realized something. A lot of people, most of our listeners have never enrolled in any of our programs.
Mm-hmm.
And we always recommend that people start. If you're going to start, you start with MAPS Anabolic, which we call RED, MAPS RED, or RED MAPS. And so here's what we're going to do. Enroll in MAPS Anabolic, and you're going to be able to get the forum for half of what it's currently being
half
offered.
Off the current price before it goes up to
before it goes up, right? So
even more sexy.
So if you haven't enrolled in anything, you're a first time, first time buyer or whatever, go to mindpumpmedia.com, enroll in MAPS Anabolic. That's our foundational program. You will get an alert once you do that, a little bump that's going to allow you to get the forum for half off. So then you can get on our private forum as well. Mindpumpmedia.com. Can I read you guys a post that just came up on the forum right now?
Yeah. Dude, the forum is crazy right now, bro.
Well, the forum's crazy. There's some...
Love it.
One guy, I'm going to see if I can have him call in. So I'm not going to read his because I don't want to, I don't want to spoil it because he said some pretty amazing stuff. But this one's pretty interesting. This is from, I'm not going to use her last name because I don't know if I have her permission to use it. But she's on the forum. Her name is Betsy. And this is Confessions from a Former Figure Competitor. So she's like, hi, I'm Betsy. I used to be a figure competitor. Always been interested in dieting and lifting weights as a way to morph and change my body. She started her educational journey by reading the Bodybuilding Bible for Women, and she started. She got started on body part splits. For the next 10 years, she experimented with all sorts of workouts, diets, and plans, and the peak of her body morphing obsession came when she chose to try figure competitions for the first time. She was 23 years old, so no professional coach. She says she decided to get it ready for herself on her own, absorbed as much information as she could, and dialed in her nutrition, and she's got really good genetics, built a lot of muscle, was really lean. In 2010, she entered her first show, and she did really well. She placed high enough to get a spot at the NPC USAs the following summer.
Oh, wow.
She competed in another show just weeks after and did even better. So she's really pumped up at this point. Went to the NPCs, competed in Vegas, and did okay. And she's saying how she was competing against women who were not all natural. Obviously,
so
once you get to a certain...
to USA. So at USA's, yeah. That's no joke, right?
Yeah.
There.
So when you get to a certain level, that level, you see now women are taking, anabolics.
Most all of them at that level. Yeah. At the national level, almost all of them are.
But she was very, happy with how she did. But after that show, and we've talked about this on the show, and she even says it here, she felt lost. Once you hit that goal, what do you do from there, right? Either you take the steroids or you don't. She don't want to. So now what does she do? And she felt kind of lost. And so she thought, how do I top that? She liked being shredded. She liked being, real tiny. She liked the looks that she got. But she didn't like the pain that it took to get her there, the isolation she experienced. She worked out 4 hours a day. She weighed and measured every single morsel of food she put into her body, she says. Depleted her adrenals. Stopped having her periods. Missed out on weddings, parties, hangouts with friends, separated herself from loved ones because they didn't understand, obviously, her lifestyle. She just wasn't doing, very well as a result. Oh, that's great. I just got totally lost the whole thing. I'll pull it right back up in just a second. somebody just called me right in the middle.
Here we go.
We'll just make up the
rest. I found it. So after that, she said, okay, I'm going to, I need to kind of get away from that because she felt emotionally and mentally wrecked. So over the next few years, she gained 30 pounds from her stage weight, which she wasn't overweight at that point because she was so tiny to begin with from the competitions, but she still felt very self-conscious. She wasn't feeling very good. She, her self-esteem was low, basically, is what she's saying. She took a break from the gym scene, started doing things like, focusing on friends and family, started doing some yoga, staying active. A few years later, she felt renewed. She felt like she was ready to go back to the gym, and her friend Christine introduced her to Mind Pump, and she started MAPS Black. She started doing MAPS Black, started eating healthy whole foods, just like we talk about, started getting a better relationship with food, decided to weigh herself. She hadn't weighed herself up until this point. Wow. And she had told herself that she's going to be okay with whatever weight comes back, and she had lost 20 pounds without even realizing it. This is without cardio, without food obsession, mm-hmm. without missing out on everything, on anything. She feels happy, healthy, and balanced. And she feels like she's been reunited with the great love of her life, which is the weight room, but with a healthy mentality and with joy. It doesn't rule her life anymore. It makes it a lot better.
And we all say, hallelujah.
When I read stuff like this, or I hear stuff like this, man, it makes me so happy.
Yeah.
It makes me absolutely so happy because this is exactly what we kind of set out to do. Yeah.
Well, this is what I mean, I love that you brought this up right now too, because I feel like we're about to go up in price on the forum, and there's a lot of people that they have not purchased a forum but have some of our programs. Like, this, the most valuable thing, anyone that's on the forum will tell you, all the stuff they've made as far as like the programs, it's not, the forum has been the most valuable, because it's filled with people like this, mm-hmm. that have great stories, that real life, and that's what I love about it. It's real life, it's real struggles, real situations, and then their experience going through it, and then other people relating to them and going through their experiences. And you've got doctors, you've got physical therapists, we've got nurses on there, you've got chiropractors.
There's a lot of personal trainers,
and there's a lot of competitors. There's all these, just a plethora of information and people on there.
It reminds me of what everybody's seeking on social media: inspiration. Right? Everybody's seeking this sort of inspiration to keep them going through their program or their process, but they're getting it from companies like Shreds and companies like these supplement companies, and it's
fake
this
shit.
Big facade.
Photoshopped
it's,
up, fucking
it's just
written by somebody else.
Facade, all bullshit. And the forum is where real people are doing work and they're bouncing ideas off each other and they're tweaking and modifying their process together, and they're getting support and love from what they're doing. And that's why it's so powerful.
God, I'm so glad you pointed that out. That's so true. How many people tune in to, because even after, we kind of outs Shreds almost a year ago, right? A year and a half ago, we first outs them. And since then we've seen like this huge, but there's still millions of motherfuckers connected to them.
They're still doing it.
Yeah, there's still millions of people that, and they're still growing. They're still going overseas. They're still, my butt might have ruffled some feathers, but it's not like we shut them down or anything. And there's still people that are tuning in, and there's still people that fight and argue for them because the inspirational part.
Yeah.
Because, but they're so inspiring, mm-hmm. And I'm like, if you only knew, like, their posts are written by somebody else, their pictures are doctored and photoshopped like a magazine.
Well, we're not here to tell you, who and how you can get inspired, okay? But I'll be the first to say right now that their posts and their sites and forget them, the vast majority of the ones that are out there in the industry.
Easy example.
The vast majority of the ones that are out there in the fitness industry are doing more harm than good. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there may be those people that get inspired to do things right and get healthy, but they're doing a lot more damage than they are good. And I know this because I'm in the industry. I see it all the fucking time. I have yet to find anybody who gets hardcore into working out and gets hardcore into that scene that then doesn't suffer some kind of, either metabolic damage or the relationship to food changes, the relationship to exercise changes. What she said in that post, the one thing that was really awesome is she said, it used to be my life, and now it makes my life better. Instead of ruling your life, it enhances your life. There's a big difference there.
Yeah.
There's a very big difference. Yeah. Yes, there's a certain level of obsession that you need to have if you want to succeed and excel at anything. But if you're looking for long-term success, then that's not the way to do it. You can't be like that all the time. You're going to kill yourself. You hurt yourself. And this is everything. This is business. Even in business, I have a tendency to overdo myself when it comes, or to overapply myself when it comes to work. But definitely will cause my relationships to friends and family and to my children will cause them to suffer. And so there's a point there where you have to look and say, okay, how can I make this relationship with my business work so that it enhances my life rather than ruling it? And at the end of that, it's a challenge, but at the end of it, it always works out much better. And it's funny, when you do that, let's just talk about exercise again. When you do that with exercise and nutrition, guess what? You end up getting better gains anyway. Like at the end of it, you end up getting in better shape.
Yeah, you're working with your body.
Exactly. Yeah. It's less of this crazy hardcore, grinding.
What do you think? I'm curious to hear all of you guys. What your favorite parts of the forum is? Like, what do you like best about the forum?
I like
it's been so neat. I mean, I really, you know, I've mentioned this before on a podcast that, you know, Sal played a huge role in growing this to where it was at, because when it first started, I mean, God, it started off, there was 20 people in there, and you know, it was very easy to communicate every day and talk to all those people, because rarely ever did 20 people on the same day have a ton of questions they needed answered. So it was pretty easy to manage. I mean, now we're getting close to like 1,000 people that are on that forum, that it's crazy how active it is. And it's so neat to see everything going on. What do you like most about watching what you've done with that?
Yeah. My favorite part is the ownership. Like some of the professionals in there have really taken and run with and figured out that they have a unique flavor that they're bringing into, like, they're coming in and they have specialties that they can help to coach specific exercises, and they can like add all this like really elaborate content that you know, a lot of times, like, we're here, we're talking, we're doing our thing, we're doing a lot of stuff, and meanwhile, you know, we're getting really awesome, like, good advice from other professionals in the industry that we trust to, you know, come in and comment on that.
There's definitely been some, we've definitely seen some people emerge from the forum who've become leaders in, like Justin was saying, in their own respective, you know, professions, where we have people coming out and there's biochemists on there talking about why certain supplements do what they do. And, you know, there's naturopaths on there, and, you know, people, there was I forgot his name, a gentleman who showed his shoulder mobility work with a stick.
Carlton.
Yeah. Carlton. I love that video. I've referred to that video.
Yeah, he's really come into, you know, his own with his own
I've
techniques
referred to
stuff.
That video myself many, many times, and I've incorporated some of the stuff I've seen on that video in some of my shoulder mobility stuff. But my absolute favorite, and maybe because I'm a sentimental guy or whatever, but my favorite part of the forum is hearing the stories and the confessions, and then seeing
100%.
Then seeing the comments of people in support. So sometimes we'll get someone who will post, and it's very brave, very, very brave of people to do this, but they'll get on there and they'll post, you know, their struggle. You know, like, I don't know how you guys can eat, you know, so well all the time. I have so much struggle with this. For the last 5 days, I've been eating nothing but shit, and I feel horrible about myself. Or, you know, I can't seem to get back in the gym the last week. I feel so lazy, and, you know, kind of down on themselves, but having a lot of courage to kind of put it out there. And then to read the comments of the support that people give back, and it's all great advice. I have yet to see anybody who gives advice where I'm like, wow, that's a bad thing to say.
Yeah.
It's all very, very good kind of supportive advice. And so...
And just the welcoming process too.
Yeah,
I love that. I love that.
That's how I tell everybody. I have, like, just go in there and say hello and hell who you are.
Yeah,
that's it. Just watch what happens.
People just, like, intuitively, like, they just want to make sure that they you know, somebody new, they recognize them, and they're like, hey, welcome. You know, we're so glad, you know, you're here, and you know, just, you don't get that from a lot of places that you go, you know, in general. And I think anybody that kind of experiences that from the very beginning, that's a powerful thing.
I think it's understated just how important having a good network around you is to...
Unbelievably. Yeah. So yesterday, one of my clients bought his son's birthday, he bought him the RGB bundle. And he was asking me, he's like, you know, I think he needs I think he would really like the No BS six pack abs, and I think he could really use a nutrition guide too. What do you think? And this and that. And I said, honestly, get the forum for him. I said, more than anything else that we offer, and I know you know that and you trust me because how long you've been with me and stuff, but he's going to benefit from that community more than all of our programs. As much as I love all of our programs and I know how beneficial they are, the forum is on a whole nother level, because you're just, and on so many different things too. Like Justin was saying about, like, I'm so proud of that thing. I really am. And it's like, and so I know Sal has to be super proud, because I feel like you really owned it more than anybody, because the community, man, you cannot go on there and not, like, smile or be positive afterwards because of and that's getting back to the, like, we are kind of shitting on Shreds, and it, you know, it's not that, it's just that the industry is so flooded with all this superficial.
It's all about them.
Yes, it's about them.
Yeah.
It's fake. It's, you know, it's photoshopped up, it's edited by other people, it's all glamorized so people get sucked into it when this is fucking as real as it gets. People going on there pouring their heart about their struggles. Mm-hmm. You know, we just had someone come on, I think it was at Allie or someone who just came on there recently and just admit, you know, I'd fallen off the wagon for like 2 months and I just wanted to reach out to my Mind Pump community and say, how do you guys deal with this when you feel like you're restarting back up? I mean, you either, and then instantly, you know, 30 people on there commenting and explaining, yeah, either one, relating to or saying, I'm going through that too, or here are some things I did to get over that, this might help you, and just tons. And the way people come across, I feel like we've done such a good job of fostering that community that everyone's truly positive, truly about others, truly about growth. Everybody is about learning. Nobody talks shit. Like, it's so,
I you know, it also, pretty damn special. It also gives us a really good, mm-hmm, it's a unique opportunity from a business standpoint. Now, initially, we created the forum so that people could ask questions and we could help them out. But I soon realized that it's an amazing, it's an amazing thing for us to keep our finger on the pulse of our audience, mm-hmm, because they're so interactive, right? So we can see what's working, what's not working, what people need, what kind of help, what should we talk about on our shows.
Right.
The forum has really provided that. And I'll give you an example. We did, you know, I don't remember when we recorded. When did we record like the abs episode? It was a while ago where we talked about, you know, ab training techniques and how to build a six pack. And these are things that we take for granted because, like, I talk about that all day long with clients. And so, mm-hmm, I'm like, I don't think we should do an episode on it. But, you know, Doug brought up the idea. So I said, all right, let's talk about this. And the forum lit up with people, you know, who were like, wow, I really, yeah, learned this from that, learned that from that. And so, you know, for me personally, hearing that, I realized that, you know what, we need to stop taking those types of things for granted and maybe talk about more, you know, body part, you know, how to, yeah, train particular
more
body
specialized
parts.
Specialized techniques.
How, yeah, like what things we encounter as trainers in terms of difficulties for training certain body parts. Because we talked about the glutes and how they're sleepy butt syndrome. We talked about the abs. The next body part I could think of right now where people have encountered the most problems in terms of activation, function, and just development is the back.
Oh, yeah.
Is the back. Would you guys agree?
Oh, yeah. 100% the posterior chain, bro. This... people, we do everything in front of us.
Yeah, very hard to recruit.
Yes. So, and that people don't realize, I think the misconception is how much of it's neurological.
Yeah.
How much of it is just really under getting that connection first there. I think that's one of the things that I think people don't get when you start training and you see like, oh, okay, I do these exercises, I do that, and I should develop this. But, well, yeah, if you're getting the right muscles to recruit, yeah, and fire.
You're placing your body in the proper positioning so you have the right posturing, even going into that lift to be able to get the muscle to respond the way you want it to respond. I mean, all these things make a difference.
Here's the first thing that pops in my mind when it comes to the back, training the back, is whenever anybody's doing some type of a pull-down movement, whether it be a pull-up or a pull down, I don't care what grip you have or whatever. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing that I see, because here's the thing, people get confused. They think if you do the movement that you're training the muscle the way you should, right? Oh, I'm doing a pull down here. That's what it looks like. I'm doing it.
Right.
Therefore, I'm working the muscles the way they should be worked. When it comes to pulling things down, you still want to be able to get scapular depression. Mm-hmm. You still, when I'm doing a pull down, I can pull a weight down and keep my shoulders elevated, and that will make number one, train an incorrect muscle recruitment pattern, or at, yep, least one that's not favorable. And number two, when you look at my back, especially if you build a nice, impressive looking back, you can tell that the person hasn't trained it properly because they have forward shoulder and they have, right, the kind of shallow look to their back. So whenever you're doing a pull-up or a pull-down, at the end of the movement when the bar is down by your chest or when you're up by the bar when you're doing a pull-up, you don't just pull yourself up to the bar. You also want to pull the shoulders down and back like you're doing the opposite of a shrug.
Right.
Like you're doing that downward shrug.
Yeah.
That one change alone, you know, I've had clients who were very muscular. I had one guy that was thinking about competing, very muscular guy. And one of the very few things I did was that, as I said, hey, look, when you do your pull-downs, your shoulders remain elevated and you're not really getting them down and back. Just change that one thing. So we had to go lighter to correct that. It looked like he gained 4 pounds of muscle on his back. I swear to God, after 3 months of doing that, you could see much more definition and detail, especially in the mid part of his back.
So a tip to teach someone that. So here's for your trainers. I'll take a client on a lat pull down if I even teach that. And I will tell them, get them all in the right position, right? Get them slightly leaned back and then explain to them, you know, puff the chest up, get ready to retract your shoulders. Then I have them pull down the bar and I have them shorten up before they get to their chest about 6 inches. And then I stop them there and we're going really light because I just want them to feel the mechanics. I said, now that you're right here, now this last 6 inches, I want you to think, bring the chest up to the bar.
Mm.
And that last bit will force them to mm-hmm. retract and depress down.
Yeah, I call it open chest.
Yeah, yes.
I do the same thing.
So, and that it'll open their chest up. It'll naturally retract and depress the shoulders if they think of that. So you pull the bar down 6 inches, then you stop there. And I go, okay, now the last 6 inches, you're going to bring the chest up to the bar instead of the other way around.
Mm,
and that's
smart.
It's yeah. It's an easy tip that will help a client get them to do what we're trying to, because what you're doing right. is technical, right? To tell somebody, if you told a client, okay, which is, I always love to catch these trainers that love to sound how smart they are. You know, when you start talking biomechanically like this in terms of, so you want to retract the shoulder girdle and depress it. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, your client doesn't fucking get that. Give them something easier to get them to do what
Speak
you,
English.
Yeah, get them to do what you need them to do in layman's terms. And one of the ways I would do that was I would pull the bar down. And then I would not allow them to pull it down anymore. Now you bring the chest up to the bar and it'll naturally retract and depress the shoulders.
Well, and also keeping tension with the bar on the way down. It makes a big difference neurologically for me.
Ooh, good point, dude.
You know, because if I'm bringing it down and it's all momentum based and I'm relying on the load to increase that sort of tension out of and get response out of my muscle, I'm doing it a disservice because I'm not properly recruiting and activating. So that's a tip that I kind of throw out there.
I like that too. That's really
good. Well, really applying the tension all the way. So, you know, having tension in your eccentric portion, your isometric portion, and your concentric portion. So, you know, this trains your muscle properly to respond in each one of these contraction phases.
Well, here's another thing too that I noticed is that, and this is more important for those of you that lift heavy, who have decent activation of the back. You know, you can do a proper row, you can do a proper pull down. This is something that I see that is a big mistake. I see a lot of guys and girls who will almost lightly grip the bar. It's almost like they don't get a full hard squeeze on the bar when they're rowing. Mm-hmm. And it's almost natural. Like you almost want to hook the bar with just your fingers because you're trying to isolate your back.
Mm-hmm.
When you've already got decent control of your back, you're better off crushing the bar and then pulling.
Yep.
You're going to get better. First of all, you're going to be able to lift heavier mm-hmm. because your CNS is firing better. And number two, you're going to get a more favorable recruitment pattern at the shoulder girdle. And they've proven this by doing studies on people who've used wrist wraps.
Mm-hmm.
Wrist wraps will change the recruitment patterns on the shoulder when you're trying to pull away because it has you disengage your grip. So when you've got good recruitment patterns and you're one of those guys or girls that likes to lift heavy and especially do heavy rows, don't just hook the bar with your fingers. Grip that fucking bar and squeeze the shit out of it and then row and watch what happens. Yes, you will feel more in your forearms, but that doesn't mean you're getting less activation in your back. You're actually getting more.
Well, this is like when you talked about, you know, before you lift a heavy deadlift or something too, is gripping the bar, you know, it gets that CNS to fire right before you snatch it up off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talking about back too, so we lat pull down may not be one of the exercises I teach. To me, it's kind of an advanced movement. And it doesn't mean that I wouldn't teach it because I would teach even a beginner, just like the tip I just gave. But I think more in my career later on, because it goes against what you're trying to do with most people's posture. That's the reason why I don't like it. Because, you know, most people...
No, rows are more important.
A really light row and teaching them how to do that. One of our forum members ran into me at the gym a while back and he was like, oh man, I'm so glad I caught you. And, you know, my shoulder's been bugging me. And I kind of like, we talked about what was going on with him. And he just, you know, he's got poor shoulder mobility and part of it is having a hard time with his retraction. And so he's feeling when he does shoulder press or he does chest press, you know, starts to aggravate it. And that's because he's not getting in that retracted position, right? So I said, okay, well, every time you come to the gym, and I brought him over to the seated row, I said, I want you to do this, you know, for 3 sets of 15 to 20 reps mm-hmm. before you start your workout, every single workout. Mm-hmm. And real light, I said, you know, put it on like 50 pounds and, you know, hold 3 to 5 seconds. And when you come in, retract, depress the shoulders.
Feel those muscles working.
Yeah, get them. And what we're doing is we're just reestablishing that neurological connection. You're not trying to strain it. You're not trying to get a pump from this. You're trying to really connect to that. Mm-hmm. And he came back to me like 2 weeks later. He's like, oh my God, dude, my shoulder pain's completely gone. Oh yeah, well, you're getting those muscles to hold you back.
Rewiring and rerouting that process.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's definitely not enough rows being done in the gym. Not enough heavy rows or proper rows, because you see a lot of people use the cables. You see a lot of pull down movements, I think, because they're easier. But when you look at the backs of people, and I see this a lot in physique competitors. Oh, I look at they turn around and you can tell that they don't do heavy rowing or deadlifting. Their backs look shallow. You know, they've got the muscularity, they've got some lats, but their backs look...
Doesn't have that three-dimensional sort of...
No, it doesn't.
It's so obvious to me now.
Do you see it now?
Oh, of course. Way more than I did before.
Oh, bro, I could pick them out in a lineup and be like, you don't deadlift, you don't row, you just... Yeah.
I feel like the deadlifting gives you those canals.
Oh, down the mid-back? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you just don't even have that. You can develop this wide V all day long and stuff, and definition by your rear deltoids, rhomboids, and everything like that. But to get that, those canals that run down your back, and that's where I think that thickness,
that's what I mean,
the 3D look, as they would say, like, that's what gives that.
Exactly,
for sure.
Exactly. The other thing, too, is when you're think of all the movements that happen with the scapula when you're doing an exercise like the dumbbell row, for example. We were taught when we were trainers to maintain scapular retraction throughout the whole movement, right? Mm. To keep kind of this tight position and then do this like
row. You can never get protracted all the way.
No, the reality is when you're doing a dumbbell row, yeah, you want good posture, when I'm over the bench.
Full range of motion.
But I do want my scapula to drop down.
Right.
And I do want it to come up, and I do want a slight rotation of the top, because those are all actions of the back, and that's what's going to give me...
It mimics natural motion.
Yes.
Movement.
Same thing with a cable row. I think Adam in Maps Aesthetic, Adam was demoing the cable row, and we're like, oh, people are going to come after us, because the way Adam was demoing it was at the beginning of the rep, he would have his scapulas would be protracted, right? Shoulders rounded forward, leaning forward, and then he'd pull back and retract the scapula and do the row. And we were taught, always keep scapula retracted throughout the whole part of the movement. But then you're not working anything in full range of motion, or at least the mid-back. So that is another huge tip, is when you're doing your rows, to understand that protraction and retraction.
But you're not using momentum.
No.
And so that was the big key. I think that's where people do it wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If they're going for, I think that's why they tried to kind of prevent that, and they wanted you in the retracted position, because they were trying to keep you stabilizing, that position.
Well, they didn't want any flexion or extension of the spine.
Yes, I see most often with the guys that do momentum is they still try and keep scapular retraction, and they use momentum. So they come forward, and they're stiff still, and then they use the momentum to rock back, but they're already in retraction, where I'm just letting the body fully roll forward and back, fully roll forward and roll back.
You should actually post that, or post something similar, I think, because people that don't have Maps Black or whatever, that is a really good unique way and technique that people need to understand properly.
By the way, I want to be very, very clear here when we talk about momentum, that for people who have good recruitment patterns, for people who have a good feel for their body, for people that understand how their body's working and they're relatively experienced, momentum can be a tool. It can. It doesn't mean you should never use momentum. There's a cheek curl, for example.
I was just going to say cheek, because this is what Arnold talks about in his.
Yes.
There is a place for this.
You know?
I mean, and in reality.
If you know how to use it.
Well, and in reality, too, if you're trying to lift a car off a baby or do something fucking crazy, you would
save the baby.
Well, no, let's be honest. If you were going to do something like something crazy, right, like that, where you need every bit of your strength to do it, you want the entire body able to work together to help you do that, so there's a play, but learning how to do it properly so you don't hurt yourself is why we don't ever teach it, right? I can only count on one hand probably how many times I've taught people, cheek curls and cheeks, because you have to be pretty advanced. You have to have really good control of your core and be able to keep, neutral spine through all different planes and movements, and that's hard for a lot of people to do.
No, you got to know how to do it. I think towards the end of the period of time I was training Doug, there would be times I told him, I said, okay, you can use a little body English.
Yeah, Doug is somebody you could teach that with, because of his knowledge and how advanced he is. I could teach someone like that.
Right. But now, so I'll venture to say this with back routines. When you're doing your back routines, first of all, the deadlift is a foundational movement for the whole body. So I hate to say it's for back, although it will develop an amazing back, but it's really a hip movement. So let's just take deadlift out for a second. We know that's a badass exercise. If you're not deadlifting, you're missing out. Let's talk about other back exercises now. I think most people's routines should begin with some type of a row before they do any type of a pull down, for the most part. Now, I'm, you know, if you're advanced and you're at the point where you're trying to really develop, you know, other parts of your back, then I understand that. But for most people, I rarely will start anybody with a pull down or a pull up. Maybe a pull up, because that's a little bit different. But I'd say a row is probably more more important, should take more priority.
Than over a T-bar, though, not like a seated row.
No, no.
I would do a compound movement. I would do
a dumbbell row, a barbell row, a T-bar row, something like that.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get more more out of it. It seems to be a little more functional.
Yeah. Because
when you're pulling, you tend to be pulling in that kind of horizontal plane, right, rather than vertical. Yeah. And then you can move into your, you know, your pull down movements. But here's a back exercise that is super, super underrated that I don't see. I'm starting to see a little bit now. It's not really a compound movement, but it's a fantastic exercise for the back, and that's a cross bench dumbbell pullover. I don't see a lot of people doing those anymore, and I don't know why. Yeah.
Really? I feel like I see a decent amount of people.
Do you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm at Gold's Brunel, so I feel like you got a lot of competitors.
Maybe they are now. I don't know.
Yeah, I see.
I definitely don't see that in my gym.
And even the Monterey.
Because it's, what, how many exercises can you think about that work and the and that that type of that plane, right?
Yeah.
None.
Yeah, that's,
none really.
You know, back in the day, that there were certain exercises that were considered measures of strength. Like if you could overhead press has always been a measure of strength. If you could lift something off the ground, like a deadlift. And then there was the bent press, which nobody does anymore. But another one was the pullover. Back in the day, these old time bodybuilders and strongmen would do like a barbell pullover. They wouldn't use a dumbbell. They'd use a barbell, bent arm pullover. And some of these guys were able to do it with, so they'd have their arms kind of fixed like this, 90 degree angle. Some of these guys were able to do like 300 pounds.
Crazy.
Oh, no, I have a buddy, I'll tag you guys in it. He does it with 315 off the bench.
Holy
like
shit.
Like reps.
Wow.
Strict form.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
He's a freak, like 40-something years old, too. A natural freak.
Wow.
Yeah. I've never seen him do it when I was like, I think I tried to do it, and I was like, a plate was challenging. Like 135 was like cool enough for me. I'm like, okay, this is getting me enough. Yeah, this is.
It's an interesting, and if you don't train that motion, you find that you're pretty weak at it.
Well, that's why I feel like I just don't train that. You know, he's obviously put some time and effort into that exercise for a while to be able to rep out 315 like that.
It's also an exercise I've used to help people with shoulder mobility for people who have issues with raising their shoulder above their head. Their arm above their head because they're resisting the weight. And they're letting the weight kind of take them into that range of motion while they're resisting it. And so it tends to allow for a greater range of motion.
Right.
And so I've used that on clients for shoulder mobility.
Definitely another advanced exercise too, though, that, you know, I want to, that's why I think the back is probably too up there with, you know, probably one of the most complex, if not the most complex muscle to develop because, one, it's, you know, we rarely ever do anything behind us. So we don't use... it's hard to engage the back in the first place.
And you don't see it.
Yeah, you can't see it. It's there's a lot of moves that some of the best moves can be compromising if you have poor posture and poor form. You know, a bent over,
you see a lot more injuries.
Yeah, right. A bent over row could be an extra great exercise. It could also be dangerous if somebody is going too heavy and doesn't know how to do it properly. Right. A deadlift is one of the king of all exercises.
Right.
You know, a lot of people don't even do it at all because they're afraid.
A lot of people get hurt.
Yeah, so people are so scared to death. And I, you know, let me tell you that I think that to me, I think you should come to the gym, and when you're working back, if you don't deadlift, you shouldn't do anything else until you figure out how to fucking deadlift, because I feel like that is the foundation of your back. You know, we talk about the squat for your legs and everything. Your squat is your foundation. Your deadlift is your foundation. If I come in and you can't deadlift, my goal is to be able to get you to deadlift.
Yeah.
And I might use all those other accessory exercises to get you into, you know, proper alignment, recruit muscles that I need.
I mean, it's your whole posterior chain. It's understanding how to activate your posterior chain because like you're saying, like everything in the anterior chain that comes easy because it's something that's a little more natural to everyday movement, whereas, you know, if you're not highlighting and able to connect, you know, with your glutes properly, with your back properly, you're able to stabilize properly, you know, even like take and relieve tension on your lower back and figure out how to incorporate more, you know, more of your core to stabilize you properly with that. You really have to put the time and the effort just into that.
Well, what's funny to me too is because you don't see your back, right? You look in the mirror, like Adam was saying, you look in the mirror, you never see your back. How often do you ever, you know, turn your back to the mirror, grab another mirror and look at your back? I mean, unless you're one of us, you probably never do that. Mm-hmm. But I can almost always tell if somebody's really fit by their back. Yeah. Much easier than by the front. Mm. You know, you can see them walking away from you. You can tell, man or woman, you could tell posture. You can see where their shoulders are placed. Mm-hmm. You might be able to see, you know, if they're wearing a tank top or whatever. And you could tell, like, that person is strong. And that person works out properly.
God, I feel like we haven't even touched on women in this area. And that's even more important that you just said that. I think this is most common in clients is females with an excessive protracted shoulder girdle and with the need of back development more than anybody, just for posture reasons. And it's so amazing. You take a girl.
Especially when they got that big chest.
Yes. No, if you have.
No, it's true.
If you have big boobs naturally or you have.
You're blessed with the fun bags.
Yeah, no. Let's,
you know what I'm saying?
Let's be serious about that. I mean, someone who's got really big boobs, whether they're fake or real.
Come to Adam. He's got the
They naturally are going to have this round. Where? How often? Think about that. How often do you see a girl with great big old tits and has great posture to go with it? No, seriously.
No, you don't.
Seriously.
You don't. Do you know why?
It's super protracted.
But do you know why?
Well, it's a confidence thing, too. Like, yes. They're almost like kind of embarrassed to do that.
Number one, if you're a woman and you're listening and you've had breast augmentation, chances are, and you don't work out properly, chances are you have issues activating the mid-back. Because many of the augmentation, you know, surgeries that happen now, a good percentage of now are under the muscle of the pec. Mm-hmm. So when you think about that, the implant is underneath the pec. It's pulling the pec forward, causing the pec to be tighter,
right,
which is going to pull my arms forward. There's that recovery period, right, where it hurts and I got to, and they bandage me up. And in that short period of time, by the way, recruitment patterns change very quickly. I could mm-hmm. change a recruitment pattern in a week simply by adding a Band-Aid somewhere. You know, if I took your arm and closed your arm with some Band-Aids, took the Band-Aids off.
Especially in a muscle or an area that's utilized a lot.
Yes.
It's having to be fired all the time.
So they have recruitment pattern issues in the mid-back, and so you get a lot of that forward shoulder problem with women who've had breast augmentation. Now, women with naturally big breasts, many times it's a confidence thing. Like, they probably developed at an early age, and they kind of hid their chest a little bit. And you ask a woman with big boobs, stand up straight. And you know what they'll say to you? No, I don't want to do that because poking out my boobs, you know?
Literally, my ladies that are
listening. We're like, let them fly.
My ladies that are listening right now, make this a part of your routine. Every workout right here. Band pull-aparts, seated row. Light, super light. You're not trying to go heavy. All you're trying to do is continue to work on that neurological connection. This will do wonders for your posture, your body, any sort of nagging issues you might have as far as aches and pains going on in your back.
Yep.
Do seated row, band pull-aparts, 3 sets of 15 to 20 reps, very light, really concentrate on your form and your posture while you're doing it, and you're really trying to retract and depress those shoulders in both those movements. And literally do three times every workout.
And you know what that'll do, by the way? Because I get lots of complaints, especially from women, is they get lots of neck tension.
Yes.
Do you know where that's coming from? Protracted shoulder. Yeah. A lot of them are. I mean, not always, but a lot of the time, most of the time.
Yeah.
So you start correcting that posture, and next thing you know, you're not getting tension in your neck. You're not feeling, you know, your neck doesn't feel kinked. And a lot of times that contributes to headaches. You know, I know women are much more likely to get headaches and whatnot, and that can contribute to that. So I've had women tell me, because we've corrected their posture, that they don't get headaches nearly as much
as they used to. So I was just talking to a client right before we got here, and this is her issue. And we were just doing shoulder mobility, and I didn't realize how tight she was until I had her do another movement. Remember how we always talk? It's so funny. I had this plan, right? So we're dealing with some hip issues right now. She might have something torn. She's getting an MRI next week. So, okay, well, we're just going to do some core stuff. And I was going to work on some mobility things with her. And then I started having her do some movements. And I have her moving with a bar and working on her transverse abdominis. And I notice her posture when she's standing there. Like, she has like an elevated scapula on one side. And she's kind of off kilter. And I'm like, sit down for a second. Have her sit down and get behind her. I'm like, holy shit. Like, she's so tight on one side. So then the whole workout changed. You know, now we redirected. Now I'm doing like threading the needle. We're working on some opening up her thoracic region and her shoulders. And we're doing all that. And I'm explaining to her like how important this is. And we've got to get this down. And that could be causing other things. And then she's like, you know, could that be causing my headaches too? And I'm like, absolutely. What I wanted to ask you though, Because what and I didn't wasn't able to tell her was the why behind that. Do you know what is? I just know. I know that from just how many clients I've trained for so many years. When they do get all tight up there, that it, they it also correlates with headaches. Is there is it a nerve? Is it a blood flow related? What is it that's
all,
caused?
It could be all of the above. So if, when you look at the when you look at the back, you look at the shoulder girdle, and if you have issues or recruitment patterns that are preventing you from having proper scapular depression and retraction. So in layman's terms, the shoulders don't want to drop and pull back. Okay. Then what ends up happening is the next available muscle takes over to stabilize the shoulder girdle. And usually that has to do with the muscles that elevate the scapula or that shrug the shoulders. So your traps, your upper trapezius, levator scapulae, all the muscles that attach right around the base of the skull. And that's where the problem happens. When you get that, that you know, I forgot the name of the that joint there that chiropractors like to...
The atlas.
There, thank you very much. Those muscles, if they're tight, they're going to cause... And here's the thing about tight muscles or overactive muscles. When muscles are overactive, when they're constantly doing more work than they should because there's certain muscles that aren't doing what they're supposed to, you will typically find inflammation at the insertions of those muscles. Okay, so like if I have tennis elbow, it's because I have, let's say, overactive...
It's already making sense to me. Why
is it making sense now?
Yeah, well, because you're by you saying that, you're telling me that there's... It inserts up there, the basically the base of the skull, and if I'm getting inflammation in there, I mean, you're going to have blockage for sure.
Correct.
It's not going
to
be
correct. It could either go to the nerve in those areas. It could cause my recruit because then it goes up the chain, right? Now my recruitment patterns for how I turn my head change. Mm-hmm. My recruitment patterns for where I hold my head. Now how I hold my face. Now all that stuff contributes to how my head's going to respond in terms of pain with headaches. Now there's lots of reasons that headaches can happen. Everything from excess, you know, vasodilation to, you know, having these weird brain waves happen that almost look epileptic. But at the end of the day, they can all be triggered by tightness in these surrounding areas right around the skull. Mm. And if you don't believe me, clench your jaw as hard as you can for 5 minutes and then relax and see if you don't get a headache.
Oh yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So
that's where I get all mine from overnight is just clenching.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll get bad headaches.
Yeah. Cause you can go to dentists and stuff and they can give you like mouthpieces and stuff that'll get rid of your headaches just because of that.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so,
makes a lot of sense like that.
So the back is one of those important muscle groups. It's one of the muscle groups that I see trained most improperly. And kind of just to recap and just kind of give you something to take away from this episode. Here's the fundamental movements of back when you're doing your back exercises. You have your row movements, which we deem to be tend to be the exercises that are more important.
Priority.
Then you have your vertical pull down movements, which are important as well. But when you do them, make sure you get your shoulders to also drop and come back, especially at the bottom of the movement. And then you have movements that are kind of like your pullover movements. And when you do those, I forgot to add, at the bottom of those movements, you also want to be able to get your shoulders to drop down and pull back. You don't want to do a pullover type movement with shoulders forward because that will encourage poor recruitment patterns. And lastly, if you're one of those people that has issues feeling, especially if you've been working out for a while and you never felt like a really good pump in your lats, here's a little easy tip. Do a pullover movement and then superset that with a pull down or a row. So start with the pullover, go to the row or the pull down, and the vast majority of you will all of a sudden feel this wonderful pump in your lats. This is the first time I ever felt a pump when I was a kid is when I did that. So, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I feel like having deadlifts in my routine makes a difference.
Oh, come on. Yeah, I'm not talking about that because I feel like that's a given. Like, you
I
have
know.
To deadlift.
Well, I, you know,
dude, your back changed so much.
Well, you say that. That's why I feel like I want to not hang up here without stressing the importance of a deadlift.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think for...
And not a rack pull.
And I do
no
yeah,
a real deadlift.
No, yeah, right, a real deadlift, which is so funny. I'm seeing so much of that now.
Well, I had to say that because I saw it just like yesterday.
Oh god, it's crazy right now. Seeing all these rack pulls, like go lighter weight, do the fucking
full range of motion, please. Yeah.
And unless you're like a expert deadlifter and you know how to use a rack pull properly,
yeah, no, there's not to say a rack. If you're rack pulling, I hope you're a competitor and you're using
that
you're
yet,
using so. Yeah, either by it's and by competitor, I don't mean like a men's physique competitor. I mean like a powerlifting competitor. and you're using it to get you past sticking points, or it's an auxiliary movement to something else.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. You know, you shouldn't be doing it for an exercise that develops. You develop all, you know, do a full fucking deadlift.
Well, no, these physique guys are doing rack pulls because they don't want to make their waist bigger. They're coming up with some.
You know what I need to do, and I haven't, and I know I said I was going to do it because I've been enjoying being big. Is I need to get fucking 2% lean again and show everybody, like, since I've been deadlifting hardcore for the last couple of years now, and show that my waist is just as fucking tiny as it was 2.5 years ago before I was deadlifting as heavy and as hard as I'm deadlifting right now. But I also remember when I talked about when I had gotten onto the hamstring curls, and I hadn't got onto the hamstring curls in a long time, and I did a machine. So I recently, remember when I was telling you guys, I was starting to have recruitment problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting some recruitment problems because I was doing so many barbell movements and not doing a lot of my mobility stuff, not using dumbbells or cables as much. I was doing so much deadlifting and squatting. So like we always say, we know we're the best trainers when it comes to helping others out, but we're always, you know, flirting with those fine lines with ourselves. So I had been doing that, and I started, and of course I waited until it started to cause problems, and then now I'm addressing it. So I haven't been deadlifting now. It's been almost a month. Been doing a lot of my rows and doing all these movements that we're talking about right now to reestablish that connection. But I get on the seated row. I hadn't done a seated row, bro, in God knows how long. I had not used that in forever. And I used to strap up on there. And I would row like 150 pounds or 175, I'd probably get up to. Dude, I was fucking rowing 300 pounds with no straps.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And I hadn't done a seated row in like a year, dude. And I'm like,
no straps.
No straps.
See how strong, you feel?
Just crazy. It blew my mind. Because I had been doing that, what used to be a staple movement in every routine. So every back workout had a seated row in it because it was one of my favorite to do. And I mean, maybe at my.
That's why we were so against the wrist wrap thing, you know, like back when. It's just like, if you're going to keep relying on this, like long term, it is just going to interrupt that whole process where you're going to gain that type of response.
It is. But I also, you know, I'm still a guy who will find his places to use his wrist wraps here and there. And I still utilize it.
Yeah, but you're also a guy that knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
There's a big difference.
So that's why I'm always careful when we say that, because you're right. But then there's also times where I find it a perfect mm-hmm. thing for me to do when I'm especially trying to isolate something. But I was just blown away by the strength gains. I mean, it took me, I remember, I think I peaked out at like 200 pounds. I think the most I ever seated row was like 200 pounds before I was really deadlifting. So to get under there, and I mean, like, I was rowing like 240, 260, like 15 reps controlled easy. I'm like, holy shit. Like, this was not only,
that's so awesome,
was this not only above my max, it was like way easier. It was crazy to me. Crazy, crazy, crazy to see that much of a gain. And that just shows you how much deadlifting carries over to everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could seated row, machine row, hammer strength row, and all those exercises till you're blue in the face, work your ass off for years to see incremental gains and avoid deadlifts, then incorporate deadlifts, and then watch what the fuck happens. I mean, it's blowing my posterior chain is like on another level just from deadlifting alone. So
from this angle, it looks beautiful.
Thank you.
Listen, if you like Mind Pump, leave us a 5-star rating review on iTunes. If we like it, if it's good, you might win a free Mind Pump t-shirt. You can also find us on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal, Adam at Mind Pump Adam, Justin at Mind Pump Justin. And also, don't forget, mindpumpmedia.com. It's where we have all of our programs and testimonials.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now, plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.